I'm searching for resistance in a way, sometimes in materials and colors, to give myself a challenge, because I don't want it to be too easy, because it's very easy when you choose a really nice material like silk velvet, as I have in the exhibition as well, and natural dyes. And so I need also to challenge myself with these materials.
Hallo und willkommen. Hamburg Arts, das ist ein Podcast mit Themen und Geschichten aus der Kunstwelt. Und ich bin Kai Detlefs, Journalist in Hamburg. Heute rede ich mit der Künstlerin Hanne Fries aus Norwegen. Die Künstlerin lebt und arbeitet in Oslo und sie erschafft, wie sie sagt, Soft Sculptures. Das sind Skulpturen aus Textilien wie Seide oder Wolle und auch aus Kunststoffen wie Latex oder Gore-Tex. Sie erschafft Skulpturen, von denen einige sagen, sie wirken wie Lebewesen mit einer eigenen Seele. Diese Figuren, diese Werke erschafft Hanne Fries in Handarbeit. Das heißt, sie sticht und näht und faltet tausendfach, bis nach und nach so ein Werk entsteht. Im Museum für Kunst und Gewerbe treffen wir uns und hier wollen wir reden über Hanne Fries Arbeitsweise, ihr wichtiges Verhältnis zur Natur und ihre Philosophie. Und jetzt begrüße ich Hanne Fries. There seems to be a growing interest in textile art since years. Is this true? Can you see this development?
Yes, absolutely. But I think in Norway, we the last 10 years, maybe even more, there have been an interest in materiality. So, and textile is a part of that movement. So I think, that's right. Yeah.
Are you connected to some sort of tradition or a movement in art history in a way?
Yes. Well, my background is in fine art, so most of my references come from painting and sculpture. And I would say I have been interested in minimalistic art and or the minimalism and American art after the Second World War. I think that's something that interests me a lot in both painting and in sculpture. What is a painting? What is a sculpture? And that's also soft sculpture is also a part of that, because I call my sculptures or my textile works soft sculptures, and that's also like Klaus Oldenburg. He was interested in that, and also I would say maybe not. I would say minimalism, the soft minimalism, like Eva Hesse, for example. If I could move back in time, I would live in that period of time in New York. So I think it's my I think a lot of things were happening in New York at that time in the art scene. So yeah.
Do you have any idea why people are so fascinated by textile art in general? What's this fascination coming from?
Well, I think it's we are surrounded by textiles, and it's in clothing and in furniture. It's very intimate, and it's very bodily, close to the skin, and it's something you would like to touch, or and it's so I think that's a reason. I think, yeah.
And how do people react to your work? What do they do? How do they react when they saw your work?
Well, depends. Maybe you should ask some.
What should I ask?
I'm not sure. But I think it's. I think they associate a lot when they see my works. Because my sculptures are, or textile works, they are very organic, and you can read a lot of things into the sculpture. So you can, people are free to interpret their selves, and I think it's, they are quite abstract, but still very associative. So I think that's the main thing that you can. I think you recognize nature, structures from nature, and also
this is one of your theme, right? Nature is one of your theme.
Nature, and I would also say the connection between nature and the body. I would say nature and the body is connected, and many of the same structures you find inside your body as in a landscape or in what you see in a microscope, for example. So it's this connection that everything is connected in a way. And yeah,
this sounds even in a way spiritual, right?
Yes, it is. For me, it is. But I want my sculptures to be very open, that you can read them in many layers. So I have many ideas behind my sculptures, but I don't have an answer to it. And so I really want it to be open, and that's why I'm in a way I want a sculpture to point in different directions. That's important for me. So I don't want it to be something very concrete in a way. Yeah.
Well, people often ask for the meaning of a piece of art. What is the artist telling us? So, in a way, what is your philosophy? In a way,
I think it's about change, that nature and we as humans are changing all the time, and that it will lead us to death. The phases of life and death. And I think that's something very present in my work, and so I think that's maybe the main thing. That's our destiny.
Let's talk about these soft sculptures. Is this your artistic background, doing sculptures?
I studied fine art in sculpture and painting. So I started with, so I couldn't really decide to focus on painting or sculpture, because for me, it was maybe materiality, which was, I discovered that was the main thing. And to work with my hands directly with the material. And for me, painting, the canvas itself became more and more a material, and very close to the human skin and the human body. So I started to use this as a sculptural material, the canvas. I ripped it off the frame, and I started to work with the canvas, and also as a sculpture, or in sculpture, I didn't want to cast objects, because I felt they were dead when I casted them. It was like a dead object. So
what do you mean by casting?
Casting a sculpture, or to make a cast like a in plaster, for example, to make a casted object in sculpture, or I started actually with foam. In the beginning, and I started to work with foam, and also with a small needle and nylon thread. So already as a student, I started with folding technique, to fold the material and to make shapes, and very bodily shapes.
So, and what kinds of material?
Foam.
Okay.
Yeah. And plastic, and and so I started, but I actually started with a needle, but it was not that crafted. But it developed to be more and more crafted, during the years after I graduated. But folding and it started quite early by these folds.
Yeah, okay. So, but it requires some craftsmanship, right? Some really intense craftsmanship.
Yes. It's very physical. The work is very physical, and Yeah, it's very physical. I use, as I said, a small needle and this nylon thread, like this fishing thread, and I start to press and press the material together with a needle, and so it's not like it's very physical, and I need a lot of volume I need a lot of fabric to create a volume. And then I join piece and piece together, and I also use my own hands and movements to make the shapes. So yeah.
And how about this artistic process? I mean, do you have a plan or a roadmap to create this piece of art?
No, but I think for me it's an ongoing process that started already when I was a student. So it's not. I'm moving back and forth in a way with the same, maybe even the same, many of the same forms or shapes. And so I'm interested in some forms. And I would say that I start quite often with an idea, and I do sketching as well. I'm sketching a lot. But of course, I can't plan the details in a sculpture, but more the how large it will be, if it will be a freestanding sculpture or if it will be a hanging sculpture, free hanging sculpture, or a wall piece. But sometimes I even transform a sculpture after some years. I will transform it. Maybe it will. It will, I will transform a piece, a free hanging piece, to a wall hanging piece. So it's a transformation there. So I start sitting on a yoga mat on my floor. I've been working on the floor for many, many years, and I start sitting there, and I, of course, it takes it's time taking, this technique, and then I switch between sitting on the mat to testing it out on a wall or in free hanging or freestanding structure, and then I continue working with it, that's the working process. So I'm actually a very traditional studio artist. I work in the studio every day, a sculpture in a way. Yeah.
Okay. And you once mentioned there's something going on between you and the piece of art, right? There's something. Is it struggling, or what is it? I mean, you're creating a piece of art, and there's something going on during this process, right?
Yeah, I like the state. Yeah, I really like this, the process. It's of course a repetition, but it's a stream of consciousness experience for me in a way, because my. I think it's a nice, how can I say, it's like floating away and in my feelings, my emotions, thoughts, energy, I put it into the sculpture, and I'm also at the same time very present, because I have to be aware of the details, and I have to be present in the moment, doing it as well.
There's one idea that's not easy to explain. You don't want to be too beautiful. It shouldn't be too easy, you want it.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Because I need some resistance in my work, because I think beauty is really nice to open doors, invite people in, but at the same time, of course, it's not reality. Beauty, it's not real in a way. So I need this, some resistance in the sculptures, closer to reality in a way that it's. And some of my sculptures are more beautiful, or pieces are more beautiful than others. Some pieces are more feminine. others are more masculine. And so I need both. Mm.
How about the colors? The colors are very crucial in your work, and mm-hmm. they are in a way handmade, hand dyed colors. Okay.
Some of them, not all. Okay. Yeah. Just some of them. Yeah.
And you do this on your own?
I do. I like to be a part. Yeah. I like to be in the process. Yeah. In all the stages of a process, because I sometimes use assistants, but mostly in the end. When finishing a piece, so it's more like technical in finishing a piece, because I also like being a part of the dyeing process, because sometimes something happens which not according to the plan, and that's also nice, like that something I have to be very open-minded or open when I'm in the dyeing process, for example. And sometimes I will discover a new color, and yeah, which surprises me, and that can be a really nice thing. Yeah, so yeah.
There is, for example, this one piece, this very yellow.
Yeah.
Piece, mm-hmm. just a great, great yellow. This mm-hmm. color, I love this color. And so, how did you do it?
This if you're thinking about this, the mass yellow,
right.
Yeah, this is not it's another material. It's a very synthetic material. It's a neon color, yellow, and it's made out of Gore-Tex material, which is like in raincoats and outerwear garments. And this is it's not easy to work with, because it's very unpleasant to work with this material. So this is a color that calls for attention, which I also it's a color that you can also use in for workers, like and I also feel I'm a worker in a way, so that's also something about this color. And I would say it's a color with many associations, but it's like it calls for attention, and it also calls for danger in a way. So it was really challenging to make this piece, because it's quite big, and also because of the material, the synthetic material, and it's not very likable in a way, you know. It's not a material you would like to have close to your skin, and it's so it was really hard making this piece, actually. Yeah,
there are these two pieces in the exhibition in this very blue, fantastic blue color. How about these two pieces?
Yes, during the pandemic, I made a series of sculptures or of textile works in synthetic materials, because in that period we were surrounded by masks and gloves and these kinds of fabrics. So I wanted to really to work with to make some new sculptures in not so likable materials. And the sky's the limit piece, which is a free hanging piece, it's almost like this fabric, this raincoat fabric. It's transparent in a way, blue transparent, and it's also very difficult to work with, because it's not easy for the needle to get through the surface. So there is resistance in that material as well. That's the story behind the synthetic sculptures. And quite often I choose a material or a color that I dislike, like this materials. I don't, yeah, it's not something I, yeah, I try to really, I'm searching for resistance in a way sometimes in materials and colors. to give myself a challenge, because I don't want it to be too easy, because it's very easy when you choose a really nice material like silk velvet, as I have in the exhibition as well, and natural dyes, and it's something else. So I need also to challenge myself.
Well, there's one piece, one striking piece in my view. This is called Map One.
Yeah.
This is different from these pieces, okay? I mean, how did you encounter this, this work?
Yeah, this is, I was contacted by a Norwegian fashion brand, and they had a lot of dead stock materials in silk scarves and wool scarves, and that they gave it to me, and I was free to make sculptures or anything, things out of it. And I made a series of work called Map, which is, and also now Landscape. But Map is a series of works where it's hand-stitched sculpture made out of silk scarves. So this is a very beautiful, material or beautiful fabrics, and I'm transforming the pattern in the silk scarves into a new pattern, which I think is a really nice idea to transform an existing pattern into something new. So and it's also the most painterly sculptures I made. For me, references to impressionistic paintings, because you can see, the structure is, you can see all the colors in the structure, and at the same time you can also see the pattern in the silk scarves, and also the new pattern or the new structure I made out of this fabric. So I actually sort out the scarves by color, and then I made some sculptures out of it, as you can see in the exhibition.
There's, once in a while, there's this striking effect that from the distance, your mm-hmm. piece looks very stable and concrete. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the closer I get, it's so fragile, and it's a textile. Yeah. It's just totally different, okay?
Yeah.
And this is your intention, or this is just part
No, that's my intention. That's a very essential for me to this... illusion and reality, so that I'm imitating materials that from a distance you can't really you don't really understand what you are looking at, and then you get closer, and then you see that it's fabric, and maybe you can even see that the technique behind it, but especially the material is important for me, that from a distance that's also the tension in the sculptures, I think, that it's great attention for the viewer that, so for example, I have this series in the synthetic sculptures, and the golem piece, it's a brown, terracotta brown piece, and it can remind you of the clay, so I'm playing with that there is no structure behind it, so it's all dense fabric, like the folds makes the forms, so that's also important for me. So this piece is also very physical, because it's made out of imitation leather, so it's a thick material, and a lot of material in one piece. And I also have other pieces in white pieces that can remind you of plaster material or other ceramic materials. So they are more sculptural in that, also in the in the approach. They are also monochrome, and I'm more focused on the sculptural form.
Let's talk about nature.
Yeah.
Nature in Norway. And how far are you inspired and connected to nature in Norway?
Yes, I'm. For me, it's maybe a natural thing because I'm Norwegian and I live quite close to the nature and I spend a lot of time in nature, and in my works as well. I have been working with natural dyes, so I collect plants for my dyes, and I also like to sometimes to work outdoor, you know, with my in the process or making. So absolutely, nature is an important aspect in my work. Yeah.
You just mentioned your hand dyed colors.
Yeah.
How do you do this in chemical and practical terms?
Well, I select plants and lichens and. I boil it in I boil the material together with the fabric, and it's a process, and sometimes it takes many days to prepare it and to actually in this exhibition you should go and see the brown it's a brown piece called Circle, a Memory of Louis Bourgeois and this piece smells nature because it's natural dyed. It's a wool piece, but it's natural dyed by lichens, and it's only wool. And you put this lichen. It's growing on stones, so you can take this, and then I just boil it together, and it will gives this really brown color. You can still smell the color, or I would say the nature. So it's still there because it's a very strong color. No, it's a very strong smell. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for your time.
Thank you.